This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher Skis. Mike Rogge, tell people who Mike Rogge is, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me back. I am the owner and editor of Mountain Gazette, which is a biannual print magazine, large format, outdoor title. Yeah, look at you. You've got it right there for those. I mean, there you're obviously listening, but...
Little weathered.
That's great, man.
That's what we want to see.
That's great,
Holding
yeah.
on to it. Read all the time.
We revitalized the... There's a team of us now, which is crazy. I can't say I anymore. I have to say we. So I brought the magazine back last year, but now we, a team of like six of us, are putting out the second issue of our ownership of the magazine. It's been through like four ownership groups since 1966. But issue 195... which it has a terrifying cover of a controlled burn, which is something everyone in the West knows about. Controlled burns are good things. They're fires that you can have some semblance of control over. But we put a controlled burn on the cover of our magazine, and I have quickly found that has either made people extremely stoked who fight fire or extremely upset for people who have been through fire. So, I run a magazine. I'm part of this independent print revival that seems to be happening, which is a really cool thing to be a part of.
Yeah. Can I ask you why do you think it's happening? What is different about, because I think certain magazines are doing a good job at this, and I think some like are kind of just hanging on for dear life. What's different about Mountain Gazette? Because I think it works. Like it's very weird. Like I am definitely of the camp that thinks useless print is dead. And I think that's kind of the key part is like there's no space for bad print anymore. And I think what you guys are doing is really cool and there's something that attracts people to it. So what do you think that is? What's special about Mountain Gazette?
I think one of the like brilliant parts of the internet is that it got rid of a lot of the gatekeepers, you know, that was great. But at the same time, gatekeeping wasn't all bad. I mean, certainly it was super bad about like not allowing different voices in and just sticking to like the same old boring story of like, hey, look, we brought four rad people to a rad place. They did a rad thing. Like no one needs to see that shit in print. But I do think like, you know, it's kind of funny to say we're a product of this age and that people have exposure to bad content 24/7 all the time. And you're constantly just filtering that stuff yourself to the point where like, you're like, I got to unfollow this person because it's just pissing me off that I thought, why not collect some stories that should exist in print? Some photos that shouldn't exist in print and bring people along for the ride. You know, our first issue, like, had a theme, I think, and our next issue has a theme, I think, but it's just easier to curate that in print. And I think the reason why the revival is happening for us, you know, for Bomb Snow, I'm really tight with Adam Howard, who's at Height of Land Publications. They do like Backcountry Mag and Mountain Flyer and Alpinist and Cross Country Ski. Steve Casimiro at Adventure, like we're all seeing super cool like results, I think, because people find their brand of magazine and they want it. Like you're a Mountain Gazette subscriber now, you know, like maybe you don't need those other magazines, but you know, we got a bike. I think of you every time I'm like, we need a bike story for Adam.
You know? Yeah. I think it's cool. Like, and I told you that, like, I sat down and like the first day I had it, I read the whole thing. I had spent however long it took. And I was like, I was in the whole thing, fully involved in it. And I've read it like 5-6 times since then. That's abnormal for a magazine, I think, because usually when I get a magazine and whether it's in the ski industry or the bike industry or whatever, you read it like when you're taking a shit and that's it. Like, yeah, maybe you pull it out then, right? Like, it's in the shop bathroom from 2008, and it's the same magazine that's been there since 2008. Like, and if they weren't showing up by the box load for free, like, we may not be reading those. You know, we may not even see those magazines.
Yeah.
So, and this feels different than that.
Well, yeah, man. I think, like, the one thing is we're not trying to mass flood the market with this. Mm. I mean, we tripled our order from our last run. You know, we did 1,000 copies and sold out. Yeah. I felt pretty bad for the customers who were subscribing and wanted the first issue, and we didn't have anything for them, but whatever. I was like, look, that's all the more reason why you're in a good spot to subscribe. So we have people that subscribed in November of last year that have never seen a copy of Mountain Gazette. And so we ordered some extras so that, you know, for the people who subscribe between now, the magazine will arrive at our warehouse next week and we'll start shipping them out immediately. So you should see it in the next like 2 to 3 weeks. You know, if you subscribe like from now until 196 in the fall, which actually, like, there's a story in there that you and I were sort of a part of on Twitter about the bullshit New Jersey rule about how you can't do a wheelie in the street on your bike.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck? Yeah.
Yeah. We got something with that. And I think we're actually bringing the Rough Riders into it.
Cool.
Yeah. So
that's sick.
Yeah. So, you know, rest in peace to frequent Lake George vacationer Earl Simmons, a.k.a. DMX, who just passed away a couple weekends
R.I.P.
ago. But, you know, man, I don't know. You said something interesting where you're like, it's something that sits on the back of your toilet when you take a shit. Like, dude, I don't know. I have not wanted to put someone's life's work on the back of a toilet. And so that's why our format is bigger. That's why our paper quality is higher. It's why we invest. It's why our subscription costs a lot. Like, we just tell people, like, when they ask, why is it so expensive? We say, no, it's actually, like, appropriately priced. We're paying our contributors a fair wage. We're paying our photographers a fair wage. We're shipping it to you in biodegradable packaging. You know, you can literally put their dirt bags or whatever. You can literally, like, plant our packaging in your backyard and recycle the cardboard and call it a day. Like, it's awesome. Like, our packaging is actually worm food, which is pretty cool. So, and then what's awesome is if you get tired of your magazine, you want to recycle it, start a fire, preferably not a forest fire, but, like, start a fire with it. You can burn our magazine. It's okay. It's paper.
Yeah.
I don't think you will. I mean, you kept it. You read it a few times.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I've kept it, and, like, it feels more like a book to me. And I think that's one of the big takeaways is, like, it feels like there's actual stories in there to read. And even, and this, I think, is the biggest compliment I can give you, the ads are not intrusive.
Yeah.
Like, the ads that are in there go along with the branding of the magazine. And that's the thing. I just went through it yesterday kind of in prep for this. And I was like, all right, like, what sticks out to me? And one of the things that sticks out, in addition to all the other things we just said, is the fact that, like, the ads even seem like they belong in the magazine. Like, the partners that you guys are choosing and the way that the graphic goes in with the magazine makes it feel like, you know, like, these are all partners. Like, you guys are a community of people supporting this magazine. And I think that part's really fucking cool.
Yeah, man, it's fun. I mean, we're really excited that Black Diamond is coming in to this issue that's coming out to everyone, like, this 195, our spring 21. And what was awesome was we were like, you know, hey, guys, like, here's what the ads looked like last time, whatever. And they made it very clear that, like, they had to, like, dedicate time with their art director to make something special for our readers so that it fit within the magazine. They wanted to know, like, you know, hey, what's after it, what's before it. They bought the inside spread. And then, you know, Stio just came in, same thing. They're like, you know, we have the spiritual sequel to A River Runs Through It in this next issue. Norm's son, John, wrote a book that comes out in June. And I believe we're the only publication in the U.S. that has this excerpt. We were running the first chapter of his book. And so Steele ran a sick fly fishing ad, you know, and it's like, it goes along with it. And, like, John's cool with it. And it doesn't look like, I mean, everyone knows it's not advertorial. Like, it's honestly this guy's life's work. He traveled around with Henry Kissinger, for Christ's sakes, like, doing all these diplomatic missions for the Chicago Times and, or excuse me, Chicago Tribune. And this was his memoir. And what's cool is Steo appreciates the work that John put in for our readers. And so they made the effort too to make an ad. Philo moved up to a spread. I'm really proud of them for that. You know, and then this is also, this is not an ad, but you know, we've got the Jaded Local coming into this next one. So I'm pretty excited about that. He did a great job.
So what's the goal? You know, like what's the goal for you? What do you want out of this? I guess like that's one of the things I'm kind of trying to figure out with this is like, what are you trying to do with it? Like, I don't understand what, because you're doing Verb Cabin, you're doing the magazine. Do you see an end goal for this? Like, is the idea just to have a place for people to tell stories and to have a magazine, or is there like a next progressional step for Mountain Gazette?
I think Verb Cabin and Mountain Gazette are one and the same. Like we've been telling good stories through Verb Cabin. You know, we just wrapped up a shoot in Florida with Grundins. It's really cool about daughter of a single father who, you know, dad's like, I didn't know anything about Barbie, so I taught my daughter how to fish. And it's just a really cool, it's just a cool story. And as far as the Mountain Gazette goes, like, I want to make it for the people who subscribe to our magazine. Like, we aren't going to, we've had four offers to sell it already.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. It's very flattering. It's cool. It makes me just believe in what we're doing. I've met with a few investors, but right now, man, I mean, we're debt free and profitable 10 months into this experiment. And, you know, Jason Leventhal is a pseudo advisor and he tells me all the time, dude, what you're doing is fucking amazing. And he's like, nobody reads anymore. That's what Jay tells me. I'm like, nobody reads anymore, but you're getting people to read. I don't think that's so accurate, but we did take a play on that. And Shane McFalls designed a special sticker for all of our subscribers. And it's an owl. It looks like he's holding a joint, I think. And he has the magazine and it just says, I read. It's like the perfect laptop. Dude,
Shane's a fucking genius.
He's such a talented artist and I'm really stoked. We haven't really worked together since our Ski the East Meathead film days way back when. Yeah. But the end goal is to, you know, make the next one. Like I just told you, like we're already talking about 196. I'm super pleased with the voices that we have coming in the magazine. I mean, Jake, who shot our cover, has never been published before. You know, like that's huge to me. Yeah. He's literally like was uploading his high-res images from a army base in Alaska where he was quarantining before he could go out and fight fires in Alaska. And you're like, yeah, this is sick. You know, Jason Roman, who shot the back cover and has a thing in here, like he and I he might have two features in the next issue. Like I might fly to New York and do that bike piece with him. Like
sick.
We've got a guy who's, I can't tell you where, but he's undercover and embedded in a really weird eco-terrorist like group in a city in America. And you know, he's putting a lot of effort in. So like, yeah, I don't know, man. My end goal is like, even though this next issue is coming out next week and I can't wait for people to get it, like I'm super excited about, you know, Logan Imlock has a story. It's going to be in our fall issue, the former Super Unknown winner from Level One, you know? Yeah. He's been working on a story for a year. Like literally, like it was one of the first stories I signed.
Damn.
And yeah, it's, and that'll be in the fall issue. So the end goal is just to keep being an outlet for people to tell these awesome stories because the reader will get it. And I feel like what's cool is in like 2-3 years, you'll have this stack of literature that in photography that is just unprecedented. Like it won't, you can't find it anywhere else. And there's not a single piece of gear in there.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a good thing. Like there's so many gear reviews and so many people that have gear opinion. Like look at myself. Like all I do with gear is I like dumb it down to like the most basic level ever. Right. And that's all that anybody needs. I don't think some people need Blister where they like, they read the whole gear Bible or Blister. Whatever. And
dude, I love, awesome.
They do the best job. Like for me, like I'm a fucking nerd. I think it's great. But for most people, they just want to hear like, I should buy this ski because it's going to be, it's going to make me have more fun. Like that's what most people care about.
Yeah. I'm a big believer in, which I think is a good, maybe a good message for these times is that like, I trust, experts. I trust educated people. I always find it interesting when my like anti-vax friends are like, I've read 13 books about vaccinations. It's like, cool. My friend went to school for 13 years. And she's still not done. And she operates on children's hearts. Like, I don't know why. I'm just going to trust her opinion over yours, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And so when it comes to gear, like, I know what we do well. I know what our, we have, I stand by us. We have the best copy editor in the industry, Kim Stravers. She does Surfer's Journal. You know, she edited my book. She edited Powder for a long time. She had Bike for a long time. Like, best copy editor in the game. So I know our text will be clean. Thomas Morton. Has won countless awards. He's our editor at large. He hosted shows about, you know, trap music in Atlanta for Vice. And also climate change docs for the North Face. Like he's just super tapped in. And I think in this instance, I would say that we have some expertise in how to tell great outdoor stories, how to tell them differently, how to expand not just our audience, but also like our contributor list so that we are, I mean, it's crazy, man. Like we have first time people in every single issue. So it's like very welcoming, but also we have like literary giants that come in, photography giants. I mean, Jason Roman just signed it. Our photographer just signed a deal with Leica. He's a Leica ambassador now.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like it's a place where everyone can play. If you hit me up one day and you're like, dude, I got your story. Like I'd believe you.
Yeah.
And we'd do it.
Yeah. It's crazy. And I think that's one of the things that you're doing really well. Like you guys are also a sponsor of Stuart's podcast who like, I think Stuart does one of the best jobs in the game, like at like actually reporting, right?
Yeah.
Like and actually talking to resorts and getting that information and then providing details. Like if you look at that dude's show notes, it's insane.
Oh,
like
man.
The dude has like paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs. And if you look at like, I don't know, mine, for example, it's like, hey guys, this is 151. Cool. Thanks. Fisher Ski sponsored, blah, blah, blah. Bye. Well, like that, it's different strokes for different folks, but like, I think that a lot, even just aligning yourself by sponsoring Stuart's show shows the value in bringing on people that really know what, like, they're specialized. They know what
man.
They're doing.
Well, you know, like, unlike you or Kaufman or Powell, like, or Mark, like, when we got to Stuart, Stuart never had a sponsor before. And I was like, hey, man, like, I want you to just keep doing what you're doing. I think the only things I have ever, like Stuart and I work on his ad read. And most of the time I'm like, hey dude, when you, like I've already told him, like when you get the new issue, just tell people how you feel about it. And if you think it sucks, you could say, hey, subscribe because let's see if they can do better. You know, like it's all good. But, you know, I'm super pumped to be a part of that. And where we can, I mean, we are a small company, but you know, supporting media. I mean, dude, we've taken out one print ad ourselves and it was in a student created Sierra newspaper.
Sick.
That, you know, these kids from Mammoth and these kids from Truckee created. And, we took out, I took out a half page in it. And
that's amazing.
Spent $700 and then what's awesome is they made a profit on it. And so this school newspaper, what did they want to do with their profits? They wanted to buy Pit Vipers. So I linked them with Spencer over at Pit Viper and like, you know, and so I don't know, man, like I really, it's not, it is marketing, but it's not like marketing and I'm using air quotes in that.
I
want to support the stuff that I like, you know, and I want to support the things that I like. I think, you know, again, with Stuart's podcast, like he had that great chat with Rusty Gregory and I was, I'm reading this book by Robin Morning, who's from Mammoth. She's an author down there about the founding of Mammoth from the perspective of Dave McCoy's wife, Roma. And it's really awesome. And I was like, dude, you should ask Rusty about Dave McCoy, who just passed away, the founder of Mammoth. He passed away a year ago and his wife just passed away like 2 weeks ago. And that was a, I mean, man, look at that. Rusty went all out. Yeah. And then obviously I was really biased with the West Mountain podcast he did. Like I'm very pleased to see they just, joined the Indy Pass.
Joined Indy.
I can't believe that there's people that are going to be using that pass to go explore West Mountain.
Dude, that pass is crazy, isn't it? Like, isn't that such, like, what an idea? Like, it's what a, like, in perfect. A time when there's two mega passes, or I guess three if you count Mountain Collective, but like, that Indy Pass is really all on its own. Like,
we partnered totally with Indy Pass thing. Last year and gave away two of them to our one subscriber. We were actually, it was funny, we were going to give it away to two people, like one pass, and we're like, that sucks. Then you have a season's pass and no one to go with. So we just, we gave two passes away to one person.
That's amazing. Yeah. I think what they're doing is actually, they're like our only, they're literally our only non-paid sponsor. Like, and again, air quotes, like they're the only company that I think, like, I just want to be aligned with in any way.
Yep.
So that they'll like we can just work together. They're cool. They're really man. Cool. And Doug's the man.
Yeah, he is the man. And I think he's got the right idea. Like, you should go see and try out all these little ski areas that rock. Like, you know, they mean something. I think of this year, like, I got to meet, you know, legendary ski racer Franz Weber at Homewood.
Yeah.
Because all the ski areas in town were closed because of snow and wind. Homewood was still spinning. It's a little ski area that rocks. And I show up and I'm getting my skis on. There's a Red Bull helmet. It's Darren Ralves. And he's like, Mike, would you like to meet Franz Weber? And I'm like, dude, little ski areas fucking rule.
Like, yeah, the best.
Yeah, they're so cool.
The best. It's so, how do you think, and maybe you don't know because I don't think you know. I don't think anybody knows. What do you think is going to happen with little ski areas? Like, because you have this thing right now where Vail's trying to buy everything, Icon's kind of trying to do the same thing and align. Everybody's trying to align with a pass in a certain extent. And I think a year ago, pre-pandemic, I guess, everybody was a little worried, like, okay, like, is this going to get out of control to the point where little ski areas are not going to be as much? And I think, before this even turns into a question, I think little ski areas are important, and I know they're important, you know they're important, but if you look at it from the perspective of someone who just goes casually skiing, that's, I think, what I was most concerned about with the smaller ski areas. Like, do they either become a part of, you know, a mega pass, or like, what are their options? You know, like, what's going to happen?
I don't know what's going to happen, but I do think the way that we in particular with the Jaded Local have been portraying small ski areas is that when you get to a new city, you have a couple options. You can go to a chain restaurant that you know and love. And I think that's Vail Resort's model, is that same food, consistent experience, certainly different terrain, varied. I would never compare, you know, North Star to like Whistler Blackcomb. Those are very different ski areas, like both great terrain parks, but you know, they're very different ski areas, but they want to have the same pass experience. Small ski areas are like the corner bistro that's been like locally run and has like maybe three great dishes, maybe too much on their menu, and they're quirky, and you have an opportunity to experience something there that you might not be able to experience at a larger place. Less intimidating. And so for people that are learning how to ski, I always tell them, like, you know, it was good enough for Warren Miller to stop up on Donner Summit. You know, it's good enough for you to stop up on Donner Summit and try Soda Springs or Sugar Bowl or somewhere else. But I'll bring it back to what's happening on my side of the industry, is that, you know, there are giant conglomerates in media right now that seem to own every magazine. And we just learned with Powder and Bike shutting down that sometimes conglomerates aren't very good. These efficiencies don't necessarily work. Salesperson who knows, you know, ski lingo might not necessarily be able to go in and sell stand-up paddle boards or skateboarding, you know, like we all have individual cultures in these sports. And I think that, you know, for me, like, it was very flattering to get multiple offers to sell Mountain Gazette and Verb Cabin. But I'm really happy, like, you know, and I think there's some small ski areas where, like, they're really happy, you know, like they're running, like, it doesn't mean they're killing it, but it doesn't mean they're dying either. I think we, like, in America, we've sort of come to this, like, conclusion that we have to sell everything. Everything's for sale. We have to buy scale.
Everything has to be a banner year every year. Dude, like, we all, everybody's got to be rich.
making, yeah, I mean, truth be told, like, Mountain Gazette is in a place that I could stop making videos tomorrow and could make 2 issues per year, hang out with my son all the time, and just make 2 issues and be financially comfortable. Awesome. We could stay in our home. It wouldn't put more stress on my wife. Like, we would be fine. But I just, you know, I like making films too. So,
yeah. But. Yeah. It's not. So let me jump back to the powder thing really quick, 'cause I want to get your thoughts on this, 'cause we're removed quite a bit from powder and bike shutting down. How did that make you feel as someone who had just kind of started, like, just released their first issue, right? Was it before or after you released your first issue?
It was right before. So we had about 480 subscribers, and that news came out, and we sold out of the magazine like 5 weeks later. Like, it just, like, how, jumped over.
How did that make you feel? And do you think that had an effect on your magazine at all? Like, 'cause that's gotta be a weird thing, right? Like, 'cause you're about to launch, and like, then this iconic magazine that has been around for a long time is now gone, like, disappeared. They decided it's not happening
anymore. Yeah.
How did that make you feel?
It made me feel for the people who work there, for sure. I thought a lot about Dave Reddick, we've talked a few times since then, and, like, you know, he's still there keeping the lights on. What's cool is Hans Ludwig, who writes the Jaded Local column for us now, is writing intros, and they're doing these, like, cool, like, they're trying to digitize every issue of Powder. Like, he's trying to put it online, keep it there. And that's a really beautiful effort, because I've read through those archives. I have a lot of them here behind me. Like, there's just things that were happening in the 70s, the 80s, and 90s, early 2000s that are not on the internet that I think are important to how we can understand and enjoy these sports. It wasn't surprising that they shut down. Like, again, like, synergy is like a word for, we can pay one person to do three people's jobs, you know? Mm-hmm. It's synergistic or whatever. Like,
yeah.
And I will say, as far as the Gazette goes, like, I mean this on my life. Like, I never want our success to be at the expense of another print title, ever. You know, I would say the direct benefit was that Grant Gunderson sent me his bike photo annual submission. And so that was in our first issue. So when people were like, man, your mountain bike photography was insane, it's like, well, yeah, it was like what was going to run. And bike, but, you know, I don't know. Like, I hope that magazine could come back. I do think what's happening is that people are going to move on, and, like, the longer that magazine sits dormant, you know, the only reason Mountain Gazette was able to have, like, a big revitalization is because I could relaunch it on the back of, like, Hunter S. Thompson and Edward Abbey writing for this. It was like, I mean, truly, it was like one of the original, if not the original, outdoor title. So, like, it was first, right? So that had a little bit of clout. They say you can't buy history, but I think I just proved that theory wrong. And we're building on that legacy. And that was why it was available. But I don't know if you could do that. I had an April Fool's joke with Mike Jaquit, the founder of Freeze magazine, that I had bought. Freeze was bringing it back. And all of our ski industry friends were like, yes, dude, I think those 30 people that texted me that day are the only people that would subscribe.
Yeah. Right. You know, right.
Like, there's plenty of options out there. I mean, when Freeze was alive and well, like, New Schoolers hadn't really gotten started. Free Skier hadn't really gotten started. Like, Powder was there, but Powder really wasn't all the way focused on covering that. They were trying to cover a lot of skiing, and obviously ski and skiing weren't covering that stuff at all. So,
it's a weird thing. And I guess the reason I ask is because, like, I run a ski shop, obviously. My family owns a ski shop. When I watch other ski shops or bike shops kind of struggling, it doesn't make me nervous. It makes me want to do things that they fucked up. Like, I want to fix the shit that they didn't do correct. Like, I look at that and I'm like, it literally adds fuel to my fire to, like, make shit happen. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, like, I was wondering if your thought process is kind of along the same, like, where you're like, okay, I get to look at, like, hindsight's 20/20. I get to look at what they did.
Oh, dude, my advisory board is filled is filled with the survivors of dead magazines, dead publications.
Right. That's huge.
Media companies that were like ready to sell for $1 billion and balked and tanked, and like people that have taken millions, tens of millions of dollars of investment and had it. You know, everyone thinks like, oh, cool, we got investors. Like, dude, that's a, I mean, in maybe the best case scenario, that's a loan, you know, at best. But really, like, they're expecting a return. And I don't know, like, I think you know this with a ski shop, is that like your customers are everything. That's it.
For sure.
And I care about our customers, you know, like I care about our subscribers. I want to make sure when they get the magazine, they feel good about it. I mean, USPS lost 127 copies of our magazine the first time around. We had 200 extra magazines sitting around, so I shipped everyone that didn't get it another copy. Like, most magazine companies don't do that, you know? Yeah. And we were like, with an apology, hey, sorry, we have no control over this once it leaves our warehouse, but like, we still want you to get your thing. I also think that like the modern economy for magazines is just not, everyone wants to do too much. Leventhal always tells me that. Don't do more. Get better at what you already do. And so I'm always trying.
I think he's learned that over a long time too, right? Like, I mean, there's like when he made bindings, like you're like, Jesus Christ, dude, just do what you do. You're killing. Line is amazing. Like, do that. Like, that sounds good. But like, it's hard to find the line between doing too much sometimes and just being more motivated to do more things, I guess, right?
We want to launch into, with the Gazette, we want to launch into like original series podcasts. So not a podcast like yours or Stuart's or Powell's or...
Right.
I feel like I always have to include Mark too. We always have to include Mark.
Yeah, Mark. Mark's barely included. Mark doesn't count. No. Mark did, by the way, was fucking roast me. Like, for the first hour that we talked, he's like eating a bowl of fucking cereal when he had me on his show.
That was my favorite podcast that you guys did. It was awesome. I actually, like, I feel like I made coffee and listened to it. It just felt like I was, like, at a bar with you guys letting you
Because that's what our conversations sound like at a bar too, by the way.
So fun. But yeah, I mean, that's anyway. So, like, look, we're doing 2 issues a year. I think we'd like to do... special edition issues. You know, we are doing like fun projects on the side. Like, I'm pretty stoked. Like, Alibi made another collab beer. It is called Jaded Local, and it has a pretty iconic picture of Hans, who wrote the column, like wearing like a bathrobe. He has a cigarette in his mouth, and it says, "Do you even live here?" And it's going to be sold in all the popular ski towns in California and Nevada. So, you know, and it's like, I don't know. I want to expand our clothing line a little bit. We're going to add more cover art to the site soon here. We've got like another 40 covers that we can put. I mean, we have way more than that, but we have another 40 we can put up, but I don't want to make more than 2 issues a year, because I think what happens, I've learned this from some friends that work over at Surfers Journal, is that you can oversaturate your audience. And Mountain Gazette's special, 'cause like, you've read yours 5 times. I think it's time for a new one. And we got you.
Totally.
It's coming in about 3 weeks. And then...
Well, and people want it, right? Yeah. Like, they want more. Like, I think... And I've seen it on Twitter. Like, I've seen people, like, actually asking for more. Like, and that's a thing that you don't see very much. Like, And I'll be honest, like, I love the guys at Freeskier, but like, when Freeskier shows up at my door, I wasn't looking forward to it showing up at my door. I knew it would show up either in January or whenever it would show up, you know, like it would just come.
I'm greatly looking forward to Freeskier coming, because I guess I could call him my protege. I love this kid. Sam Taggart was just named the editor.
He's the man.
He showed up. He was an intern at Powder. I was at Powder Awards. I think it was in Breckenridge during the Dew Tour. And I joke that he was like that guy from Animal House, who's like the Rush chairman. He's like, going up, damn glad to meet you. And he came up and he's like, Mike Rogge, I'm Sam Taggart. I'm damn glad to meet you. He shook my hand. And I've been joking with him that he was running for class president back then. But then he came up, I think, for the McConkie premiere. He met my wife. What I like is that he's an eager beaver. You know, he's ready to go. He's ready to roll. But he... I think, like, dude, he's got the top job at Freeskier, and he called me after he got it and was asking for some advice. And I was like, dude, you just need to, this is yours now. Like, make the magazine that you want to read. And I really can't wait to see what he does. He's pretty excited. He sees a lot of the things that people feel about Freeskier, like you just said about it not showing up. And, I think that's all it needs. Like, I think Donnie O'Neill did a sick job. Donnie has a story in our next issue that went.
Donnie's a great dude.
Dude, Donnie wrote a story about, like, it's just nuts. Wait till you see it. It's just really beautiful. And of course, because he's Donnie, he's so talented, he shot the photos for it too. And it's like, cool, man. Do you want to edit it? You want to lay it out? You want to sell an ad next to it? Like, but yeah, the next step for us, man, is like not to do more issues, but I think we're going to try to go up in page count. We just hired an associate publisher who lives in Denver. And our goal is to go from, we went from 132 to 136 with this, which is not a huge jump, but we did go up. And so ultimately my dream would be to put out two, like 180 plus 200 page almost magazines that would be truly like a hefty weighted magazine and just more photos, more art, you know, a couple more long stories.
So. I think that's a great thing, man. I really do. It's weird. Like I feel like you're doing the right things, and not that my opinion on this means anything,
it
but
does.
Like
it does. Actually.
I don't usually, it might to you, but it doesn't like actually change. Like I think the way that you're doing it is very cool. Like, and we're talking about in an age where social media seems to be like the only thing anybody cares about. Right.
Yeah.
And you're taking this print magazine and people are like, actually like, posting it on their social media feeds. Like they're like, I'm psyched to get a Mac. I can't remember the last time I saw people do that. And yes, obviously some of them are because they're your friends and they like you or whatever, you know?
The coolest thing is that we have almost 300 subscribers in Japan. And
that's crazy.
It was awesome. Yeah, it's so cool. Like, dude, we've got a bunch of subscribers in DC. We've got a bunch of subscribers in Detroit. We've got like over 100 subscribers in the UK. And then, you know, we've gotten some in Berlin, but like Japan, for whatever reason, they all got on it and it was all delivered to them within like 3 days. And it was about 2 months after the magazine came out. So like one morning I woke up and my social media feed was like the greatest day of my life because we were tagged in all these insanely cool Japanese, like beautiful, like bento box, you know, like next to some sushi, and like, I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then like in a fucking cat cafe in Tokyo and like, like in Hokkaido, like in, Okinawa, which was really cool. It's where like Second Karate Kid was filmed. I was really hyped on that. And that was just amazing. And we're going to, we're hopefully going to do some more of that. We tried to run a contest, but ultimately I just couldn't pull it together and people kept posting them anyways. And so that's my favorite part is people get them. They're really proud of them. And now that people are vaccinated and they'll be in each other's houses, my hope is that new people start seeing them for the first time.
Yeah. How do you think going back to regular life is going to affect the magazine? And I guess like that's a weird thing, right? And I didn't even think about that until now. But you've been running this since like only in the pandemic, and now we're going to come out of the pandemic, hopefully, as long as everybody gets their shit together. And like, are you worried about it going down? Are you worried about it going like, what's the projection with life returning back to normal? Because I think one of the positives to COVID was content consumption was up because people are just sitting on their fucking phones all day, or they're looking for stuff to be entertained with. Right. And, but they're also looking to be outside more. They're buying more bikes. They're buying more skis. They're buying basketball hoops and whatever. Like it's different. So how will a return change things for the magazine, or will it at all?
I don't know. I think like, you know, we are a biannual, so you get it. And like, you don't have to rip through it right away. Good luck packing it in your backpack. Like it's pretty big, but, man, I wanted to do like release parties with these things forever. My hope is that we do one release party here in Tahoe. That's mellow the first weekend in June at Alibi. And that would be really cool for us. Like, I'd like to be a part of that, the community that way. And like, I think how we're going to throw events is that if you're a subscriber, you get in for free. And if you're not a subscriber, there's a cover. We have a band, we have beer. I know we're going to do a party with our printer. This is my favorite thing, man, is like the people who we like pay money to make our magazine are so fucking proud of making our magazine that they want to throw a party with us at OR. Cause they're just like,
oh shit.
Yeah. They're like, maybe we can get other magazines to come up here. I was like, yeah, I don't care. Like, let's do it. So we'll probably do a party at OR. And then my like real hope is that the Boston Ski Show comes back and I can go back home to the East Coast and bring it back. Maybe throw a party with you and Jeff and Rooster. Yeah. And again, like, I'm not trying to throw like Red Man and Method Man at Red Rocks party. Like, I want to find a great brewery where we can actually let our subscribers, a lot of whom are in the industry, a lot of whom are not in the industry, have a chance to get together and hang out. And I don't know. I just want to bring the community together because I think that's the one thing that I found is everyone's pretty like-minded. So that's one way it'll change for sure.
Yeah.
And then the biggest one is that I finally get to send people on assignment. You know, like everyone's been doing these stories from at home. And, you know, like, I'm looking forward to, I've been talking to Gina Danza, who did the macro photos, the Desert Wild Gina on Instagram. Like, she, she's like, I want to get out of here. I want to travel. And so I've been like, you know, hunting down tourism boards to get her out of her apartment to go on assignment. You know, as soon as it's safe for her to travel internationally, like, I'd love for her to be doing that for us. And, you know, everyone's perspective so far in the magazine has been from their home. So I'm really looking forward to letting people get out into the world and do stuff. I mean, I want to go on assignment.
Bro, I want to go places too. I haven't flown. Like, I was flying literally once to twice a month, like, for the podcast last year, like, back up until last year. And now, like, I haven't flown in a year. It's terrible. Like, I want to go places. Like,
I just flew to Florida and, for our Grundin's shoot with their cabin. Yeah, I flew into Orlando, and I will say, like, dude, Florida, like, most people are masked, like, all the people you'd expect to be masked, like, have masks on, and all the people who I've been told are the highest risk for COVID are just like, nah, they're, like, in bars, partying, like, it's like, I don't know, they would have been in college in, like, what, 1958, 1960, and they're just, like, sending so hard, and you're like, okay. Whatever, man. Personal responsibility, I guess, is there.
At this point, yeah, right. Like, that's at this point in the pandemic, I think we are to the point where you can allow people to make some decisions on their own, right? You want to be dumb, you can go be dumb on your, like, that's allowed. As long as the proper people get vaccinated, right? Like, as long as everybody who wants a vaccination can get one, then I don't give a shit. Like, go lick whoever's face you want, you know? Like, it really, it's like, it's to that point.
I am pretty excited for our younger contributors to see the what everyone's calling the next roaring 20s through their eyes.
Oh yeah.
I think it's going to be fun. I think we're going to get some really great stories out of that. I also think what's cool is that people have a new appreciation for pretty mundane things. Like, for me, like, I really liked being on the Atlantic Ocean. Sounds so stupid, but like, I went to an outdoor bar. There weren't a lot of people there. I grabbed a beer, just sat there and was like, wow, the Atlantic, like, up until like a couple weeks ago, this was like impossible to get to unless I drove from California.
Yeah.
And that's pretty, and I don't know, that's a cool way to look at the world. And maybe people won't be like doing those bigger, fastest, strongest, like, bullshit articles that we're all so sick of. And they'll be like, hey, the Appalachian Trail is dope, but also the Appalachian Mountains are cool and the Adirondacks are cool and the Greens are cool. I did talk about, I almost got a Meme the Whites reference into, I interviewed Chris Sununu, the governor of New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And I asked him if he followed that account and he said he did not.
Ugh.
But
that's a shame. That dude's a genius.
I was excited about it. I'm very,
that dude's a genius.
Yeah. I'm fairly certain that if you made it this long in the podcast, you're one of Adam's OG listeners and not one of his like newfound meme account friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
I, you know, dude,
maybe, who knows, bro? Like, it's really, it's funny because like I've had real people follow the pod, like people that I look up to follow the podcast because they found it through a meme, right? So like,
yeah, it's good.
It's hard. It's good and it's bad, right? I don't like making them personally. You know that, like I like picking on things.
You know that, like
that's meme? What I like.
It's like the guy walking with a girl and he's like looking back at another girl.
Yes.
Someone did that, and like the girl he's walking with is 194 and the girl he's looking back at is 195. And I was like, okay. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. It's funny. It's fine. I was happy one of our subscribers made that. So
Do you worry that you're too old for memes? Is this a worry of yours?
I'm not worried that I'm too old for memes. What I think memes are is every meme account to me is a kid with a kickball. No one wants to play together. They're all just like, dude, I swear, like the best memes that Meme the Whites makes are the ones where he makes fun of other accounts.
And yeah, like totally.
And like, totally. Also what's really funny is all these people are like salty as hell. I guess what I don't like, at least you're public. I don't like that it's so anonymous.
I will tell you who I am.
Dude, the like anonymous meme bullshit.
Yeah.
Is just like, dude, no offense, but like that's the weakest shit out because it's
No, man up. No, for real. I agree.
Like, the only reason, you know what, man? No one says like my username sucks. They're like Mike Rogie and Mountain Gazette, Verb Cabin. Fuck. Like when people say that.
Totally. I suck, dude. When people come in my life sometimes. People are like, oh, you made fun of Epic Pass, but Epic Pass loves fucking every. They're the reason that you have a job, bro. Like somebody emailed me that. And I'm like, first of all, like you're emailing me about a meme that was on Instagram. You could have just DM'd me, right? Like it's insane. But like, I don't know. I own it. I like doing it once a week because I'm. And I told Warner this, I can do it and I'm getting the free engagement. It's right there. It's so fucking easy. And like, I'm 26. I'm allowed to make memes and be an idiot on the internet. You know, like if Warner does it at fucking 75 or however old Warner is, like it's different, right? Like it's inauthentic to a point. Like this is my generation.
That Buscemi meme. Hello, fellow kids or whatever.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know. Like I also think that, I'm 35, like I'll never hate on a medium ever. I think mediums are really cool. I think there's meme accounts that absolutely crush, but then there's also memes out there that like are creative agencies and they're basically making their money off of stealing other people's content. And like, that's just not totally cool in any medium, you know, like if someone was taking this interview and putting it out as like, they did a quick intro. And it's like, okay, now Adam's going to interview Mike. You know, you'd be like, dude, I put a lot of work into that. So, I'm pretty fine. Like with memes, they like some make me laugh. I think Jackson Hole Meme Force makes me laugh the most. And that they're guy doesn't good. Really post. I also think that it's only for the most part, other than Womb Cork, which I love. Like, I do feel like it's mostly like angsty single guys. Posting this
it
stuff.
Is a lot of angsty single guys, I think. And dude, I don't know, like Womb Cork is different, like they trigger a lot of people, like those girls trigger a lot. And but that's the other thing too, is like, you know, kind of who it is.
Their shit's funny because, like, you know, it's true girls. Too
dude, they kill, and they're like, they're hosting a podcast for us now, like starting in June, I think, but or that's end awesome. Of May. Like they're the best. Like it's they know what they're doing. They have an audience, and I think that's why memes are funny, right? Like if I was to go and make a meme about snowboarding, I think it would be inauthentic and dumb. But I can make memes about gear. I can make memes about Vail because it's like the shit that I'm doing on a day-to-day basis, and like I'm sitting in this stupid lift line that exists. But it's a tough thing because at the same time, I don't want to be sitting here complaining about a lift line. And also being like, oh, more people need to come into skiing. It's really tough. Like, it's a tough line to play.
I think it just goes back to like respect, right? Like, and I'm not asking for respect or anything like that. Like, I don't know. My social media on Instagram has turned into me posting like beautiful pictures of books I like to read, which is the most 75-year-old man thing you could probably ever do. But at the same time, that's fun for me. I think it's supposed to be fun. I really love Clubhouse. I haven't been on there in a bit, but I'm always impressed. What I'm not impressed by is that like the, you know, social media as a career folks have gotten in there and have figured out that if you pop into rooms and offer like whatever opinion you have, whether it advances the conversation or not, you'll get more followers. It's a really easy way to game the system. But I've been going into
dead?
What's that?
Is Clubhouse dead? Do you think Clubhouse? Because I am watching on the outside, right? Like, I'm watching you do it. I'm watching Warner do it. I'm watching all these people get involved in Clubhouse. And I'm, like, looking at it. And I personally think that it is a non-factor for me. Like, and it's funny because this should be my medium, right? Like, this, I'm good at talking. This should be my thing.
I like going in there, and I've been going into photography groups. And specifically not, what's funny is there's a group on there that wanted to charge me to offer how people could like get published and get paid by Mountain Gazette to like shoot photos for us. And I was like, nah, it's cool. But I've been going to these smaller groups, and listening to photographers and hearing like from their perspective where the gap is in reaching photo editors. You know, so like, for example, one thing we changed up on our thing is like to submit to Mountain Gazette, you literally Google Mountain Gazette submissions. It comes up, you sign up for an email list. And now you're on our email list. We're going to send out an email to all of the people that have signed up who have interest in working for us. That's like, hey, we just finished 195. 196 is like not fully together. What do you got for us? And they can pitch directly to me. And now there's a direct line of communication. And it's not like, do I mail Rogi a manuscript in the mail? Like, how do I do this? Like, dude, I want to make it like really clear. And I learned that from Clubhouse, which was cool. And I've got probably 14 new photographers who have never shot a frame of action in the outdoors that are just brilliant photographers that I can lean on now. And I don't want our magazine to look like anyone else's. And so I have to go to these different spots on the internet. I'm also part of a thing called the Psychedelic Clubhouse, which is really funny. It's like a guy in San Francisco who's doing a ton of research on psilocybin, which is really, really cool. So
sick. I think there's value in it. I do think there's value in Clubhouse. It's just like, I don't know. I feel like it's going to die out. And the reason I feel like it's going to die out is because it's a social media, but it's not a social media, right? Like, it provides a lot of the same value that podcasts do in the sense that you can learn a lot of actually useful things from it. And you get to listen to experts and you get to kind of know people a little more. But at the same time, there's, like you just said, like, people are kind of trying to use it for their own benefit. Yeah. And it's very social media. It feels dirty almost to me, and I'm like, I can't.
There's a lot of Bitcoin NFT stuff on there. Speaking of which, I think we're going to offer our first issue. We've never put it online. I think we're going to actually offer it as a with an NFT certificate.
What is an NFT? What? Okay, so I don't know what an NFT is. I haven't looked it up. What does that mean?
Fungible token. Basically, what it is like when you're a kid, you go get a. If you're me and you're a weirdo, you're a Mets fan, you go get a ball signed by Bill Buckner, who had the ball go between his legs.
Yeah.
And what you get is a certificate of authenticity that says this is actually signed by Bill Buckner.
Right.
And so, you know, that certificate and the ball have more value than just the ball, right?
Yeah.
So an NFT is basically a certificate that says that you own the original copy.
Got it.
And so what we would do is say, look, here's 194. It's the first issue back of Mountain Gazette. And here we were actually thinking about doing the Adobe InDesign file and being like, here it is. You have it. That person could, in theory, put 194 all over the internet. I don't care. But we would actually sell the ownership of that first issue digitally to someone who would then own an NFT that would say that, like, hey, I own this. It would be like owning an original piece of art versus owning a poster.
So interesting.
I know. I'm not that interested in it, but I will say my sister-in-law has made like a fuck ton of money off of Dogecoin. So like,
dude, I've made some money recently too. Adam X has made more money than, not to put his shit out there, but he's made more money than me. And he texted me and he was like, hey bro, like, I'm quitting. I fucking have made a big on Dogecoin. I'm like,
dude, I love it. I think it's great. Like, whatever. It's cool. It's a really interesting way to sell things on the internet. Sell, like, works of art on the internet. I mean,
that's what I've seen it mostly for.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. Like, maybe I'm being a little too much on this. But, like, I do think our magazines are a work of art. And I'm proud of them. And it's like, you know, we're like a really good mixtape in print.
Yeah, No, I think that's an excellent way to put it. And I think it's a good way to sell it. I don't know. I didn't even understand what it was. I've like been seeing people. It's like I tend to ignore things until I'm sure that they're going to be there, yeah, which is part of the reason I'm ignoring Clubhouse because like I don't need to build it. Like I'm like
idiot earlier this year when I was like, hey guys, there's this new thing called Clubhouse. And they're like, yeah, it's been out for like 2 years. I'm like, whatever.
I know, dude. Yeah. That's what I'm like. I don't get it. Like, and I'm going on TikTok now and I'm like, oh yeah, like TikTok is new for me, but like TikTok's been around for so fucking long. Like Kyle Smain has like 200 fucking thousand followers or whatever he has on TikTok. And I'm like, how did I not know this? Like, there's people that...
That's cool. I didn't know that either. I'm happy for Kyle. That's good.
He's got a million... He was telling me about it on the podcast. And I was like, yeah, whatever, bro. Like, whatever, bro. TikTok.
Gus Kenworthy is going to be on a reality show with the recent Bachelor who just came out as gay.
I saw that. That's insane.
And like... Eileen Gu is going to be like on the cover of Time magazine maybe or something like that. Like, I mean, there's just, it's a cool time to watch skiers go do stuff. And I also think it's cool
that we
finally started talking to other people versus like, whenever we do marketing for the Gazette, I always think, am I just doing this so my friends think it's cool? Because if I am, that's kind of the wrong thing to do is like, we're almost always marketing to our friends. Like, for me, I really do want to reach a different audience. Like my key consumer is the person who just moved to a mountain town in the last like 12 months because that person has made a pretty big life change. And I think that through Jaded Local and some other funny things, like we can show that there's more value in this than just like how new your jacket is, how new your gear is, how big your car is. You know, like it's almost like when people move to Tahoe, they have like their checklist of like, here's all the things I need to do on Instagram to show people that I live here now. But like, dude, that doesn't make you a local. Like Cy, our illustrator, cartoonist said, you know, best, like living in a mountain town is not what you take from it. It's what you give to it. And we want to reinforce that over and over again. You know, we're going to donate some of our Jade Local beer to some of the ski patrollers who had just a hell of a time being mask police and, you know, sending beaters and you know, Jerry's and Gapers and all those people. Like, I don't know. Jaded, his new idea is he wants to get the guys that run Jerry of the Day, like Beater, Kook Slam, whatever, get them all together and have a summit about what you're supposed to do to be an outdoor person.
Oh my God. That would be amazing. That would be amazing to see. Like, are you kidding me?
The Jaded Local Summit. I mean, he's kind of the first guy calling them all out. I mean, he called to blow up the top 200 feet of Everest so it would be safer.
Yeah. Oh my God. So. Yeah. What a weird time in skiing. What a weird time in the world. I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited to see what's going to happen with the magazine. I'm excited to see the next issue. It's, I don't know, dude. I think you're doing good things. I really do.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you reaching out. Asking me to come on. This is huge.
Of course. Where can people find Mountain Gazette? Where can people find Verb, you, all the stuff? Where can people find that on the internet?
Sure. You can go to mountaingazette.com/subscribe. That's the best way to get your copy. We start shipping them pretty soon. Like first week, second week of May is when they're going out the door. Verb Cabin is at Verb Cabin on Instagram, verbcabin.com. We make a lot of work for Grunden, so you can like check out their channel, and we're working on some big projects over there. And you can follow my photos of old books at Skiing Ruby.
You're a photographer now? Is that the deal? I've been tweeting a lot about photography lately.
I've been getting hired for photo jobs, which is crazy. And it's so damn cool. I don't know. Cause you always a writer. You're like trying to find every angle, the best angle. What's this? What's that? You're trying to get background, whatever.
Yeah.
I like going on a shoot and looking at it through a lens. It's pretty fun. I'm a Leica snob, which is, you know, I love it, dude. I think the Leica look is a
people real can't thing. See my eyes rolling, but my eyes are rolling. But I get it. I get the appeal.
It's a beautiful camera system.
It is a beautiful camera.
I've been digging into their archives, like Leica Photograph International. They have an app. It's LFI on the App Store. And for like $60 a year, you get access to all of the issues they've ever printed. I mean, fuck. These people were literally publishing this magazine as American GIs were invading Berlin in World War II. Oh, my God. Or excuse me, not invading, liberating Berlin. I mean, it's insane. Like I just did a shoot in Florida and like was borrowing angles from like this 1956 Leica magazine, like fishing cow. So I don't know, dude, I'm just doing that stuff. My son skied 21 days as a 2-year-old this Amazing. Winter and he likes it still. My wife's going to LA this weekend to see some friends and I'm going to take him to, I think Alpine Meadows might close on Sunday. Which is crazy because it might be the final closure before the base to base is in next year. Yeah. So we're going to go and rip around me and my 2-year-old and opera in the parking lot, make hot dogs, watch a Mets game. Speaking of which, we have a big series coming up tonight and tomorrow. You're a Red Sox fan?
No, I don't like baseball anymore. I used to pretend to be a Yankees fan because like my family was a Yankee. Like my family is all like, because my dad, like, is like all Arabs, I think, at one point or another are Yankees fans.
Dude, it's it's a Yankee hat is an international symbol of America.
Yes. And that's what they know. That's what they know. So they come here and they're like, I'm a Yankees fan. So like I grew up being a Yankees fan and a Lakers fan because that's what was known. So like that's I am a diehard Lakers fan until the day I die.
Nice.
Even if I hate a lot, I don't like LeBron. Like these are my sports takes. I do basically.
Find that very interesting.
I do not like him.
My son's godfather, skiers know him as All-Star. You know, he did Solomon Freesky TV for a while. But
Yeah,
so that's my son's godfather, and he's a giant Lakers fan, not a LeBron fan. Respects LeBron.
I appreciate the talent. You can't not appreciate the talent and the athlete that he is, but, like, the dude is just – he's an idiot.
I love LeBron. I think – I mean, he's LeBron's the greatest. But, I mean, we had to adopt a team when we got out here, and you know, I still root for the Knicks a little bit, but I was like, son.
Because they're winning now? Now you're not going to drop them because they're winning this year for the first time?
No, man. My son was born in Truckee, California, and we're like, we can't just give him all New York teams. He'll be like the weirdest kid at school. So, like, he's a huge Mets fan. He likes the Mets, but, like, he doesn't really watch football, but he does like the Warriors. I mean, Steph Curry is incredibly fun to watch.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
And what's cool is, like, he's two. He's been a Warriors fan since the day he was born. So he was born into the Warriors dynasty. So
what a way.
Yeah,
what
man. A way.
Amazing.
I hope you feel better. For those of you that are listening.
Thanks. Yeah, I've been sorry.
Cold and
sorry, I'm sniffing. I don't have a cold. I like my cat slept on my pillow, I think, last night. And it's I am just like losing it. I have been fucking leaking like a faucet here. It's has not been good. Instagram handle for you, Mike, is Skiing Rogie, yeah.
Yep. At Skiing Rogie
on Twitter too.
Yep.
Cool. Beauty. Thanks again for doing this, buddy.
Yeah, man. Pleased to be here.
Hope you guys enjoyed that episode with Mike Rogie. Don't forget, you can save 10% off on your subscription to Mountain Gazette by using promo code GoHire, GoHire10, all caps on GoHire. GoHire10, MountainGazette.com. Next week we have, I don't know who. Probably a gear episode, to be honest with you, but we'll see what happens. Talk to you then. Goodbye.